In today's episode, Mike laments a toaster, Samantha steals some morals, and I'm just a sucker. This is episode 49.
Yeah, it's very similar. Like a pan flute with a lot of reverb. Like the bow. The who is it? Was it Hans Zimmer who did those?
Yes.
Like the brass that's in every movie trailer now.
The Inception, the Pacific Rim is bad enough. All right. So I guess we should start talking about some video games. Hi, welcome to Funsphere Game Club. I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
I'm Josh.
Okay. Neither of you, well, one of you is
Joshception. We're all Josh.
I was going to say, one of you is Mike, the other is Samantha. And
but which one?
That's the question. We're going to talk about some games that we've played recently and stuff that's been going on in the world as far as video games go and us.
Current events.
So, welcome, and thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Topical Sphere Club.
We're a new show now.
Yes, we are.
Qualified.
All right, so I'm trying to think, is there any huge news that happened since the last time where I totally whiffed on the Street Fighter VI prediction, by the way? I made fun of myself in our intro for the last episode of that. I was like, has anything else big really happened since then? Nah, nothing.
Did you hear about the new buyout?
No. What new buyout? Gonna make it up?
Microsoft just bought Nintendo.
Oh, funny story. Apparently they tried to when they were getting into the gaming business. I think I may have mentioned that before.
I have.
They were laughed out of the room.
Sony just bought Sing, not realizing that they were already a defunct company.
I was gonna say, we could talk about Epic Games buying Bandcamp out of nowhere.
We did talk about that.
No,
We texted about it.
Well, it's stupid and I hate it and
I
stay in your lane, video games.
I literally am just like, I wonder if that was just a purchase to expand, like it's tax season for Epic, so they're like, we need to buy something so we can write something off. Let's buy Bandcamp, sure.
Yeah, they bought the last bastion of indie musicians supporting themselves. And we all know where it's going to go. So, fuck Epic.
Don't worry. Somebody will make like a Bandcamp clone and make it open source.
Of course. Like, I just don't get that collaboration at all. And I don't think there's going to be a collaboration. I think it's just going to be... you're under the Epic umbrella now.
They're going to bring back Guitar Hero, but you have to write your own songs.
I hope they bring back DJ Hero, personally.
I want more DDR.
I want to be on the left and rights. But DDR is Konami.
I don't care.
Konami, the company that still refuses to put out anything besides a pachinko machine. And a skateboard for Silent Hill 2. Because that's the market you want.
What?
Yeah, have you not seen these? Okay, so last year, Konami did this like big teaser for like Silent Hill, right? Now, this is, of course, after all the PT and the Silent Hills game got canceled and whatnot. And they're like, yeah, are you guys hyped for this? And everybody's like, yeah. And they announced it, and it was a skateboard collaboration. So they put out a special
skateboard. That's actually pretty awesome.
Kind of.
Like a big middle finger to, like, you guys haven't caught on, so all right, we'll sell the assets to a skateboard company.
So this year they're doing...
That's what you're talking about, yes. Right? Like they would print... Silent Hill related images
on
the bottom of the board.
Yes, on the deck.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And so this year they decided to do it again with Silent Hill 2, you know, a beloved game. They're like, you know what? The hero of Silent Hill 2 really needed was to be Tony Hawk. So
yeah, so we can skate away from the monsters.
Yeah, that's the thing. That a skateboard is
it
not...
would have benefit both of those games. I say that I've never played them, so
I've only watched Silent Hill games.
They're quite good. They're
the only Silent Hill I played was the one on PSP, and it was garbage, and I hated it.
Does the one where they had like it was like an academy or something? You had to make like a student.
I just remember that all your weapons broke, just like Breath of the Wild.
Just like
and I
every
also
Silent
hated
Hill.
That mechanic in that game. Is that in every game?
No.
Silent Hill.
Like it was like a non-stop crafting system where like you would use an item two times and it would break.
More in like the puzzle situation, like you would use an item like in a Resident Evil.
No, this was like a combat heavy game.
Okay, so I'll say that
it was not good.
The answer is no, because combat is, I would say, on purpose kind of bad in Silent Hill 1 and especially in Silent Hill 2. Because that's not the main aspect. They were making a game that's like, this is not Resident Evil. We want to focus more on the horror than we do on the action. Plus, your protagonists aren't action heroes in those games.
They're
so
just
that was kind of on purpose.
Everyday sinners.
Pretty much. So what do you guys been? So before we start talking about Silent Hill, like we're gonna do a deep dive on it because we're not, unfortunately. What have you guys been playing?
Oh, I'll start as usual.
Okay.
I've been playing two things. The one that I don't have too much to say because we've talked about it before is I bought Paradise Killer on PS4.
Oh, okay.
Because the new DLC came out and all that. And yeah, the graphics...
Is it a considerable upgrade?
Yeah. The
It was free, right?
The DLC was free, but then they added it because it wasn't on PlayStation or Xbox before. So they basically it's available everywhere now. I decided to get it on PS4 just because of the drift, you know, I'm suffering at the moment.
Wait, no, I thought it said that anybody who already owned the game got it on the other systems for free.
Oh, what? No, the DLC was free, not the... Right?
Not the game.
Well, whatever, I don't mind I don't mind supporting them again. I've bought that game 3 times now.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, the graphics, big, big upgrade. Like, just adding reflections and things, like, and the lighting's a lot better. The DLC, it wasn't, like, more to the main story of the game, but it was kind of fun. Like, there's some new NPCs, and there's a new thing with, like, some broken vending machines, where there's, like, a very rude version of the Dead Nebula mascot, and that's where you get the new songs. So it was fun, and just, like, just... it just was so much nicer on PlayStation. So that was good. I enjoyed that. And I made Skid watch me play it. But the main thing I've been playing is I caved and I bought Horizon Forbidden West on PS4.
Okay.
And I beat it. But
already?
I played it. Oh, the main story, I think, is... I'll say this. Overall, quick review. It's great. It's, like, way bigger than the last game. There's a ton to do. I haven't even... gotten close to finishing all the side quests. But the main story, I was really liking it, and then when it ended, it felt like it ended right when it was getting started.
One of those games.
Yeah.
The golden sun effect.
I was wondering how they were going to set up a third game, and they did that very well. And I can't decide if it's good that I'm like, well, give it to me right now.
Don't they have DLC planned for that game?
Yeah, there is DLC planned, so I'm hoping there's some story stuff in it, because it ended and I was like, what? It just felt very abrupt with everything they were building up. But overall it's been great, even with the bugs. And I don't think... So I watched a video comparing, like, regular PS4, which is what I have, and then the good one, and then PS5 versions of this game. And it seems like the main difference is textures and loading times.
Yeah, that's the biggest... I'll say that as someone that's got a PS5 and has gone back and played some PS4 games, stuff like that. It is right now, like most early systems, it's not a huge jump from the previous generation to this one. It's more just their loading times are very, very brief, and stuff is a little shinier right now. Like further down the line, it'll be better, I think. But we're not making huge leaps and bounds anymore in graphics technology.
Yeah,
it's all at this point. It's like I said, mainly usually this game doesn't take 2.5 minutes to load anymore.
Yeah,
or something like that.
I don't mind it too much. Like the bugs also have been hilarious, and there's been so many patches already.
Hmm.
Like there's whenever I do the racing side quest. It would just be Aloy's head floating, talking to somebody. Just her head. I don't know why.
Sometimes I think that certain game developers will put out, like, will let, like, a bug like that go through just because that gets kind of word-of-mouth hype for the game. Like, do you remember when Assassin's Creed, the one that took place in France, came out? And, like, all the people talked about for the first 2 months of that game's release was all the terrible bugs. Now, I don't think they were on purpose on that specific issue, but I wouldn't be surprised if a game developer's like, hey, let's let this one slide for 2 patches just so people will notice it, and you know, if it doesn't break the game entirely, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why everybody has a bizarre love for Fallout New Vegas. Which was a poopy ass game.
Like I said before, I'm pretty sure it's only found love on the PC with all the mods used to actually fix and make the game playable at this point.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of romanticism towards that game, and it does not deserve it.
Has it been around long enough to be nostalgic for people?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I think it is.
It was a 360 game, so that's
like people that never played Fallout 3.
Well, people don't really like Fallout 3 that much either, Mike. I mean, there's definitely like the purist of that series hate the big change from like 1 and 2.
I'm pretty sure that was only like 12 people.
Maybe 13. Maybe 14. All right, so Samantha, those were the two that you played. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that you got into that game and went ahead and bought the sequel for the game that you love so much. I was going to ask a question about Paradise Killer, though.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you've bought this 3 times.
Uh-huh.
So you bought it on Switch.
Yeah.
You bought it on PC.
Yeah.
And you bought it on PlayStation 4 now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you guys, like, do you think that's a better way of supporting the producer of buying all the different SKUs that are available? Like, I mean, you're still...
When they don't make merch available
Okay.
themselves, then yeah.
Yeah, because I have also bought the CD version of the soundtrack and the vinyl version of the soundtrack, because for a long time that was the only merch available. But I just got, from what I pre-ordered, because they put out a ton of merch randomly. Like, right after I tweeted I wanted more, it got announced. And they liked my tweet, so they must have just known.
You can all thank Samantha. Yes. She made it happen.
They gave it. I bought, you know, like a lot of the art prints you get in the game of the characters. I have those, which are going to go up in my new apartment. And a little pin, you know, that the cool kids have. The heart logo.
Okay.
But yeah.
Gotcha.
But the reason I bought it on PC is because I wanted to make GIF sets and things.
Hmm. Gotcha.
And it's easier to record the screen on PC than from console.
I was just like, as we always circle back to GTA 5 and their constant re-release of the game, and now their subscription service to GTA Online. Like, at some point...
Whoa, I didn't hear about
that. Yeah, they just announced it. Like, I think it's like $6 a month, but you get like extra... Like, I haven't looked at it.
Is it just for the new gen systems, or is it every, like across the board?
I think the only two that are up and running at this point, I think they killed the 360 version of the online and the PS3 version of online. So I think it's the Xbox One, PlayStation 4 version, and the new ones that are coming out. That's the only one that's online. And PC, I guess, because it did come out to that as well. That's like... I was asking that question to Samantha because I think it's neat when people support it, but I'm like, I guess if that is the avenue of supporting them, like they don't have merchandise or something like that. But I'm also the mindset of like, I'm not going to buy your newest re-release of this game because I've bought it so many times and I want you to make something new. Like, I'm joking about it, but if Resident Evil 4 comes forward to the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X, I'm not buying it. I've bought it too many times. Make me a new version of PlayStation of Resident Evil 4 and I buy it. Make me Grand Theft Auto 6 and I'll buy it happily day one. But I'm like, I'm not going to keep supporting that. And but at the same time, I also must say I'm also a sucker and I've been adding to my back catalog, which at this point is crazy because we had a 2-year hiatus period basically where no games came out, and now all of a sudden we're getting flooded with games this year. Of like, so I bought the Capcom fighting game collection that was announced because I was like, well, yeah, you never see Darkstalkers anymore. And
what a sucker.
But I'm also waiting to buy the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga collection, which apparently got pushed back to next year. I don't know why you would push back a game with
really, yeah,
just,
you couldn't.
It's just ports. Come on. I was like, you couldn't get that out in time? So it's like I have a love-hate relationship of buying games over and over again. It's like I get it when you're supporting it. Like for Capcom specifically, that fighting game one, they use those all oftentimes as a test, as interest in their series and stuff like that. So if like I wanted Darkstalkers to be revived, I kind of need to put my money where my mouth is and buy that game so they know that there is an interest in those games again.
I think the difference is, I'm gonna say company size.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like for an indie developer like Paradise Killer is coming from, then yes, they deserve your money. Rockstar does not deserve yeah. your money for another fucking yeah. port.
And Paradise
Capcom doesn't deserve your money. Like they have so many systems in place to gauge player interest in potential things. Like now I don't buy into the fact that you need to buy this fighter collection, which even that, like, nobody's that dumb that they would start teasing something, just a random clock. That is PR 101. Like, well, they knew what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah. And like I said,
they did it just to bait all of you into wanting whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
And then they gave you this turd.
Hold on, Michael. I object to that because honestly, that collection does have some like really rare stuff that was never released in the US.
Yeah, it's like here are a lot of things that we all forgot about.
Yeah. But at the same time, they're also announced.
If they were that serious, they would do. Look at Bionic Commando. They made a full-fledged 3D game on the Xbox 360. Nobody was talking about that game.
No.
Nobody asked for a sequel, but they did it.
Yeah.
If they really cared about whatever these games you're talking about, they would do the same.
I will say this. I am, of course, a huge lover of Capcom. They are not the juggernaut powerhouse they once were. I will be the first to admit. But I'm glad that they were releasing these because I was like, at least this way, I even bought a physical one. I was like, at least when they take these away digitally, I'll have this. And, you know, because it's hard to play Darkstalkers right now. The only way I know to do it is play it through, like, the PlayStation, not their Live or whatever they call their subscription service.
Now.
Plus.
Yeah, but I think they're about to change it. And it's supposed to be better, which it certainly couldn't be worse. But like I said, I...
PlayStation minus.
Pretty much.
PlayStation, I got
all
hacked.
The money you were playing with, yeah. Less.
But is it also...
Your PlayStation got hacked?
Like 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a while back. I was...
Oh, I thought you said yours specifically got hacked.
Oh.
Mine got hacked like 2 years ago.
Oh,
somebody
okay.
purchased a soccer game. I was like, I did not buy this. And PayPal wouldn't refund me because I had my PlayStation thing as an approved thing. I was like, but I didn't buy this. And then luckily Sony was the PlayStation Network customer service was very helpful, actually. And they were able to, like, make my PlayStation the primary one again. And I was able to change everything, and it's been fine. I just removed all payment methods. And now when I want to digitally buy something, I purchase a... Get? I wasn't calling you. I purchase a digital, like, PlayStation card. Dollars card.
Yeah. That's what I do too. They've had some security breaches over the years that made me do exactly the same thing.
Anyway,
what was I going to? I was going to say something else about that. Is it sad that I was more hyped for the fighting game collection than I was for Street Fighter VI? No, but I'll answer my own question. But like, I think actually, like, the response I got from most people I heard about that were like, they were way more into the that collection than they were for the huge games like Street Fighter VI and stuff like that. I thought that was funny. Interesting.
All right, here's a hot take. I'm going to say that it is sad.
Okay.
Well, and I'll give you a specific example. So you guys know, like, my second favorite game is Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
And something that I never expected would happen when they reimagined it on the Switch.
Okay.
And it's something that I was super pumped for, and like, it was cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
But at the end of the day, I didn't really need it. It didn't do anything to really change my opinion. Like, using nostalgia to sell stuff, like, it's never gonna hold up to what the original was for you in the first place. So
I don't know. But
once you realize that, like, why wouldn't you just start pushing? I mean, if there are certain limitations where maybe you couldn't get across what you needed to in the original game, but, like, Link's Awakening was perfect. They didn't need shinier graphics to do what they were doing. You can go back and play it just as easily as you could before.
Well, except for it's a Nintendo product, and Nintendo doesn't want you playing their old stuff. Not unless they can sell it to you again.
Well, they didn't need to spend the millions to get a company to reimagine it.
I'm actually surprised we didn't get anything else out of that. We didn't get Oracle of Seasons or Oracle of Time.
Yeah, especially now that the engine...
Yeah, the engine's there.
Had been honed. Well, it was two totally different companies that made it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know it's a licensing issue.
It's your boys, Capcom.
It is Capcom.
They made Oracle.
Yep. They also, but at the same time, I was like, didn't they? I guess there's some licensing issues there, but I was going to bring up something you were just saying about that. I think it's a fine line on that, Mike. I think every now and then you do get a game that reimagines the original, updates it, and it's really good. Like, I'll point to the Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3 remakes. Those are good.
Yes, Shadow, but I already threw that in there.
Yeah.
I was like, that it's unbearable to go back to the PS1 and play those.
Unbearable? I don't know about that. Now, I will say,
it definitely
but
is.
Another reason I was buying that collection is some of those games have the power to still hold up. Like, my brother and I were having a real quick debate. He's like, hey, we need to do a video about what's the best Street Fighter. And I was like, well, that's not really a debate. It's Third Strike. And he's like, yeah, but not always. I was like, no, it's still Third Strike to this day. Like, I think it's better than 4, and 4 was good. I didn't care for 5 at all. I was like, Third Strike is still better than that. So, like, if you're giving me a collection that had Third Strike on it again, I'm going to buy it. Just because that game is still solid to this point. So I get, like, you're saying that sometimes it's sad to do these big collections and get hyped, but if they've got a certain game on there that is still, to this day, super strong, or at least in my opinion, I'm perfectly happy to buy it, like Darkstalkers and this collection, because some of those games, like I said, they still hit the same way. So I don't always view it as you're just trying to rebuy a game that to revive that feeling. And sometimes you do buy a game to do that, but then there are other times you're like, man, this game is still rock solid to this day. And that's So I was going to just bring that up as a counterpoint.
So wouldn't the way to make it better for Capcom and to make it better for you as a consumer, instead of selling a collection where they just, it's like a shotgun blast of, if they were trying to do what you said and gauge interest on a certain game, how are they going to know that you bought that collection specifically for Darkstalkers? They should sell them all individually.
Okay.
Especially in this world that we live in. Like,
well, I'll
you don't have, even though you're a big company, you can sell a game on the Switch for 99 cents and it can be anything. Like, you can put out each individual game. It's like, I'm surprised companies aren't doing that right now. Like, pick up the void that Nintendo has left. Everybody's asking for a virtual console, not their Nintendo Switch Online where we get to choose the games. Like,
yeah,
make it an a la carte. I want this specific game. Let me buy this specific game.
I'll answer that question by saying that every now and then they do put out those original versions, and they usually get snapped up pretty quick. They can test people's interest nowadays, especially in these games, because they've added online capability to all these. So they can literally sit back and watch the numbers of how many fighters go online for Darkstalkers versus Street Fighter 2. So stuff like that, they'll be able to get quantitative data from that online interactions.
What about the people who don't want to play online?
Well, they're also going to get information from sales SKUs about how many copies of this game actually played or was purchased and stuff like that. And I think between the two of them, you'll get a pretty realistic readout on interest in these games.
Yeah. So if like nobody going online even touches Darkstalkers, then they'll know that nobody wants it.
No, I will say this. I can actually even give you an example of from Capcom of seeing how sales and then their future thing moving forward. Do you remember the Ace Attorney collection, the HD collection they came out with a few years ago? Okay.
And made unavailable and then re-released?
Yeah. So they did something very interesting with it this last time. They used the analysis from the sales of the game for that new one they made that's like in the Victorian England or something like that, the newest one in the series. They said, all right, because of the sales data we received, we're going to release it on Switch and we're going to release it on PlayStation, but we're not going to make an Xbox version. The reason being is because the sales were so poor on the Xbox version compared to the other two that we know that there's not a strong market for it in the Xbox. So there, stuff like that will work. Plus, I think it's, to kind of agree with you on the nostalgia thing, there are so many games now that are getting into that weird gray area of you can't get it digitally and physical versions are getting harder and harder to find legally. Or, you know, the same thing with the digital versions of, like, we're talking about Silent Hill. Like, I would love to play the original version of Silent Hill 2, but I can't, literally, unless I want to buy a PlayStation and the disc and stuff like that. And then there would be certain things I'm not willing to sit through. But then some companies like Konami, like we mentioned earlier, they know that there's a huge demand for their services and for their IPs and stuff like that, but they just don't give a rat's ass. They could care less what you want. That's so, I think it's a weird combination of things. Like, Capcom will put these games out to gauge your interest, where Konami knows you're interested, but they just don't care. They're not going to spend the money to port that forward, even though it would make their fans happy and potentially make them tons of money. They're just like, nah, we don't want to.
Weird. That's so weird. They don't want to do anything with their biggest IP.
No, and they won't sell them. Like, that was the other hope. I was like, I honestly wish someone like Microsoft or Sony would buy out Konami just so they could wrench the IPs out of those hands of those pachinko-loving companies. I don't...
Weird.
Like, they love mobile games, pachinko. They're like, we make plenty of money doing that. They're like, regular video games are for nerds. So there's no way we would spend the time and the money.
Well, they're right.
Have you guys tried to watch The Brave Little Toaster in the past 2 decades?
No. I can safely say it's been
impossible to watch.
Is it not on Disney?
No, Plus? It was never no, Disney. It's what's his face.
It's nothing. Like, they've intentionally made it.
Why?
Obsolete.
I'm typing to Google it.
I thought it was a Disney movie. Or like
the sequels, the shitty sequels are.
Okay.
Because they bought the rights after the fact. But the original.
Uh-huh.
That
came out in our lifetime that had John Lovitz.
Yes.
Okay, but
impossible to
the
watch.
The original one does have the Disney castle on the front of it.
Yeah.
On the front of the trailer.
I think it was one of those things they probably...
It's probably competing...
Or they...
Companies that have rights. All I know is that you can't... You won't find
it. You can watch
it
on YouTube if you rent it for $3.99.
There you go.
Oh, wait, this is a sequel. That's Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars.
Told you.
Like, remember when we were talking about the Super Mario Brothers episode and I was trying to find the movie and it's like, no, they won't release this anyway.
It started to bother me because something reminded me of it and I was like, I would like to go back and watch that and nothing.
I think that is a weird nebulous thing that it seems to be more and more, I don't necessarily know that it's like more and more prevalent, but maybe you're more and more aware of it now is like, so you were talking about the virtual console, put up all the Nintendo games. Well, some of those games they can't sell because the companies that made them no longer exist, so they can't secure the rights for a digital re-release or something like that. Oh, so, all right, here's a game. Chrono Cross is being re-released digitally, an upgrade very soon. Well, a lot of people were like, well, what about Chrono Trigger? And so I think Chrono Trigger is one of those games that's so tied up in so many rights of like, you got Square, you've got Akira Toriyama, you've got, I think Nintendo was a producer on that one or something like that.
Yeah, but there are so many instances where people have come together.
Yeah.
To make that kind of stuff work.
And I guess there's also a lot of times.
Let's work together.
A lot of times people won't come together because.
Bring back Super Mario RPG and Chrono Trigger.
Come on, guys.
Well, and they did. They brought, like, Chrono Trigger got re-released on the DS. Yeah. It got a phone release.
But nothing on any modern consoles.
A telephone is very modern.
It's probably because they got screwed the last time.
Exactly. So that's kind of sometimes why I buy these things.
You just have a lot of people that own IPs that are offended.
They want a big...
And think, you know what? I'm going to destroy the world.
Or I just want a bigger cut. And until you got all the companies agree on the slice of the pie for this contract, they just like, nope, I'll let it sit here. Like Mother.
It's all corporate greed.
It is all corporate greed. Hey. Speaking of corporate greed.
Let's all.
Go ahead.
You can fade it out and then fade it back in and we'll all be laughing.
Yeah.
Ready?
That's good.
Oh my God.
I can't believe you said that.
No, I'm actually going to cut back in where Mike says talks about using it to fade in and fade out. So I'm going to tell you guys, we were talking about corporate greed, and I'm going to tell you the two games that I've been playing because they're quite contrasting games. So the first one I'll mention is I jumped in and I did buy Elden Ring.
Oh, I want it.
The first Dark Souls-esque game I've really played. I've dabbled with a few other ones, but I'll say this. I see why people are so hype about this game. Like, of the challenge in itself. I will say this. It's probably the best-looking game I've seen on my PlayStation 5 so far. Very huge world. It does have a very challenging fighting system that I'm getting used to. I'm literally just wandering around, like, the very first area. I've encountered a couple of bosses, and you get murdered quickly and efficiently by them. And I will say this, it's very frustrating. I can only play it for about 30 minute stints.
Wow.
Because I'll be like, all right, I'm about to throw a controller through my TV.
Yeah, this sounds miserable and not okay, what I think about
so
whenever.
I thought it was I thought the same thing. I thought, all right, I'm going to spend money on this game and I'm going to hate it. But I actually found that by giving it those little breaks and like taking my time and exploring it, like it does, I see why so many people are interested in this. It does provide quite a huge challenge. Now, if you think you're just going to barrel into it, you're going to get murdered immediately and you'll give it up in 5 minutes. and literally my first session of playing it, I was like that. I was like, well, this is bullshit. All you do is get hit one time and you're dead. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to slow down and be real patient with this and not try to act like all these people I've seen on YouTube or whatnot that are extremely good at the game. And when I took that step back, I was like, wow, I'm really enjoying this game. And it's one of those ones I think I'm going to like pick up and play for a little bit at a time, just in between stuff. But like, it's gorgeous. It seems like it's got a really interesting story. and eventually I hope to get good enough to actually progress in the story to confirm my theories that it does have a good story. So like I said, the contrasting game that I've been playing is Lawn Simulator on Xbox. It's like Hank Hill's ideal video game from King of the Hill. It is literally a simulator about mowing lawns, but the great thing is you get to try and use all these fantastic lawnmowers that I would never, ever, ever in a million years be able to afford or use. So, but it's
so they're all like legit.
Yes, like they're branded. Like there's Toro and there's like all these actual brands and like licensed deal for these lawnmowers. And I don't know about you guys, if I know that Mike has a yard that he has to mow, and I'm sure Samantha has mowed a yard once or twice in her life.
Never
at some point. What? Okay,
I have
so
a
I'm
brother
at that.
And okay, we've always had gardeners.
Okay. Well, not all of us lived the fancy bougie life of Samantha here with our gardeners on our palatial estates.
And our brothers.
And brothers. Some of us had to get out there as a kid and forced by the old man to go push the mower around.
I'm scared.
But as an adult, I have gotten to that point of now that I'm not forced to do it, every now and then, like every other lawnmower, if I'm not super busy, I do enjoy mowing the lawn, and I definitely enjoy seeing it after it's mowed.
I can
like,
see that.
Nothing's a greater...
It's like every other chore.
Yeah, I found that with
if you're...
every chore. I love to vacuum when I choose to do it.
Well, it just depends. Like, if you're in the right headspace...
Yeah.
Then it makes all the difference. Like sometimes I get really wrapped up and I'm like, I don't want to do this. And that's all I can think about is how much I don't want to do it. But if I'm ever, I guess it's like a meditation kind of thing. If I'm ever okay with just like, I know it needs to be done. I don't have anything pressing to do or anything that I need to be thinking about. If I can zone out enough to just like do it and like listen to music or something, then it's pretty good.
I agree.
And you do get a great sense of satisfaction.
I was
so this
my mom out on her little riding lawnmower mowing their like acre plus of land, and she's got this big sun hat on just going. She seems to like it.
So I'll say this, it's great because like I said, of all the neat things that you can see that they do with tractors and the engineering involved. Like you'll try one tractor and then you'll try another one. You're like, man, that was a piece of garbage. That old one, this one's like a spaceship that mows your yard. It's great. Plus it also itches my, like if I'm ever thinking about job, like my actual job, I can sit back and think about this one because it also has like a business management thing. So it's like I can use real life skills to be better at this video game.
Somebody that I work with, that's his side business, is a lawn company.
If I had all the money in the world and never like had to rely on that to like generate income.
It's just it's expensive to start yes. up, but
I bet it's competitive.
You can easily recoup.
Yeah. Costs. Oh, in this area especially.
Yeah, it's very competitive.
Yes. Like I said, if I could do that business as like I won the lottery, I could live off my lottery winnings, I would probably do that business just as to have something to do.
Yeah, go to Farragut.
Well, and it's also you need to be choosy yep. about the clients you take, because like if we did pay somebody to mow my yard, I would feel so bad for them.
I would also feel
like it's not worth the cost.
Oh no, they would love your yard because they're going to put in 5 minutes and you're going to charge you an exorbitant price.
Yeah, they can they get got to turn off the air conditioner.
All the trees and all the pipes and everything
means,
that they have to avoid.
Means nothing to a string trimmer and a zero tone motor. A zero radius mower, I can assure you.
Josh,
I've
like
played
you,
on several of them.
Sounds like you found your Stardew.
I kind of have. I actually was thinking the same thing while I was playing it. I was like, man, they're going to say something because they're going to be like, that's why we play Stardew Valley, but I'm like, no, this one's fun.
Please, God, never let Josh discover the, what is it, truck driving simulator game?
Microsoft.
That came out a couple of years
ago. So, and also, I wanted to pick this game just kind of have something that, like, as a laugh to talk about on this episode. And I ended up playing this more than I played Elden Ring. Like, literally, I was playing it before we recorded, and I saw the clock, and I was like, it's time to go in there and set up. And I was like, but I could get one more yard mode.
I was playing Horizon. That's why I said 3:30.
I'm reminded of all the times that you bitched about how in the games we've enjoyed, you're like, but it's just chores that I should be doing now.
Yes.
In a game where it doesn't matter.
I am fully aware of the irony as I look out on my yard that does need to be physically mowed. And I was, yesterday I had like a big chore that I was doing to get ready for like a vacation. And I was like, man, I could be mowing my yard right now. But here I am playing games where I'm mowing yards.
It's like a Moms for Liberty PSA about how evil video games are. She'll Josh mowing his lawn on the TV. Overgrown yard. The devil.
Exactly.
See, well, they just, I mean, it's just like every other game. The prize versus reward kind of situation is still pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure this is the most realistic lawn mowing game ever made, but you probably don't have to drive to a gas station and fill up a canister of gas to go mow. That, I mean, that's like the past 4 out of 5 times that I felt in the mood to mow my yard. I was like, well, shit, I have to do this extra step. Guess I'm not mowing.
You know, my mom has a big garden, and they've really redone it this year because she wants to be able to have the garden pay for itself. She wants to be able to sell her crops, and I was just thinking, like, well, it's spring, you gotta buy all cauliflower seeds. And like, all I could think of was like, my mom's living Stardew for real.
Yeah, so I was aware of like playing it. I was like, man, they're gonna mention Stardew, and I was like, and all the times I've ripped on simulator games,
right, and Animal Crossing,
and all that stuff, and I was like, damn it, I feel like I'm such a sellout by playing this game, but I was like, but this is a hell of a game. I'm literally enjoying it. Like, my back catalog
And that's, I guess that's part of the comfort of those games, is when you feel like you're not good at life, they're like, here, let me help you a little bit.
And I was going to say, and I'm also like seeing my back catalog of games just get higher and higher, and I'm spending more and more time playing this long. Like, as soon as we get done here, I'm going to play again.
It's fine. Oh, speaking of real life Stardew, I found at my mom's place last weekend, I found a moral. A mushroom that I only recognized.
That's actually, that's very surprising because of the weird frost we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they grow in our yard. They grew the first year that we lived here, and they started last year because they go March through May, and they started, and then we had a snowstorm that wasn't even nearly as bad as what we just had, and it killed everything. And this year they haven't even sprouted.
Man, I hope they come back. I looked it up. They're $40 a pound.
Yeah, they are super rare. That's why they're so expensive, is because they're almost impossible to, like, give the proper circumstances for them growing.
Yeah, it was just on the in the grass in front of their little gazebo, and I'm hoping more sprout up. I'm gonna go there. Oh, I forgot. I don't know if I mentioned to you guys. You know I'm very poor, and my mom now pays me to clean their house. So I'm gonna be back there on Tuesday. Hopefully there's more, and I'll just steal their morals.
Yeah, I would scoop
I
them
showed
up.
It to her, and she didn't care at all. So.
Angela cooked them last time. I was afraid to try them. Because I don't like mushrooms.
I don't like mushrooms.
But all she did was cook it in butter, and she said that it was really good.
I, too, do not care for mushrooms.
I don't either. Bleh. Just
but you'll sell them.
Texture is gnarly.
So
we gave some to our neighbors, and they were like, "Holy shit, are you sure?" I'm like, "Yeah." Well, they just—I mean, what else are we gonna do?
All right, so Mike, what have you been playing?
Well, hold on to your butts. I'm happy to announce that I have finished Pokemon.
Oh, good job!
Okay,
I did it. I completed the Pokedex. I can't say 100%, but I did all that I was destined to do in that game.
You just decided.
And it was a real chore by the end. Like, the last 20 Pokemon. Because I not only caught them all, but I, like, got them all to level 10. And they're, like, to fill up the Pokedex thing.
Ugh.
Oh, JJ just texted. He said, of course.
Of course I'm fake.
Sure.
So there we
sure
go.
Sure he did, Mike.
24th.
Sure he did, Mike. Okay. So you finally finished it. What have you played since? Now that that's done.
What are you doing?
I don't know what he's
doing. I'm sending you guys a picture, right?
I sent a picture. Angela responded immediately.
I didn't.
She said, yeah, he's fake. All right, hold on. Hold on.
Waiting.
Oh, did she? Yeah.
This is like instant response.
It's she's.
Quick on the draw. All right. So, Mike, I'm going to give you, you talked about it so much, and I mentioned it in my back catalog. I did buy that game. I've yet to pop it in my Switch.
It's really great. It's everything that they should have been doing for a while now.
Okay.
How the hell do I send this to freaking... Here we go.
Waiting on a text that'll never come.
That's true. Hey, it's not real.
There it goes. It's okay. In.
All right.
It's done. No, it's... I mean, all the pros I could say about it, I told you guys in the previous episode. Like, it was a lot of fun. It just... I mean, you guys know how I work. Like, I have a flavor of the week where I'm all in, and then the next week, it's a different thing. And this is the furthest I've gotten in one of those games in a long, long time. Like, being able to stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it, in me forcing myself to finish it, because I was so close to the finish line, it was a lot.
I think it's funny how, like, your sense of being, like, a completionist on some games doesn't translate into this one.
Because it's too many.
Yeah, it has to serve my idea of what a completionist thing would be. Like, What they have been asking in a lot of these newer games, it doesn't seem fair. Like, nobody has that kind of time. But if it's like a Zelda game where... yeah. You collect all these items and then that's it, then great.
I think, like, a game should be careful of balancing that. Like, I'll mention it on Batman. Like, the first Arkham Asylum had, like, 100 reload trophies. Okay, that was a pretty decent challenge.
Reload trophies.
What? Okay.
Yeah, that was just, like, one...
I'll have to hear it. Okay.
40-letter word.
Okay, so it had 100 Riddler trophies.
Yeah. Okay.
Riddler trophies. Yes.
But the subsequent sequels had like 500 each, and I was like, I do not have time nor the patience for that. Nor was the payoff that good for them.
Riddler where it was like, busy.
He was.
But yeah, no, I see what you're saying though. Like, there's, or like Breath of the Wild, they have 900 Korok seeds that you have to find.
Yeah,
that's,
no,
it's stupid.
Yeah, no, and the payoff's not worth it.
Well, and they, I feel like that was a very tongue in cheek. The fact that you earn a turd, they were saying like, there's no reason you should have done that. But if they know that. Why'd you fucking do it in the first place?
It's bait.
Suppose.
But then it's still something for the completionist. Yeah. Which is also a lesson.
It's like,
now
look
I'm doing it, Josh.
Alertion. Look what you waste your life on. That's rude. That's rude of them.
But, I mean, it was pretty manageable. And I take my time in games, so I'm sure that the average human being would be able to get through that in a lot less time than I did to get done what I did. That was the one thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about, though. Like, in a conceptual kind of talk is, doesn't it feel so good to you know, you pay like $50 to $60 on a game, but then you put in over 100 hours, you're like, oh my god, I got my money's worth on that game.
I
love it.
I don't buy a ton of games, so I tend to, the ones I do buy, I tend to get that.
I know the feeling of feeling like you've been ripped off from a game, like where you put in the money. And I also know the feeling of like, wow, this was such a good value even at full price on games.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Metroid Dread, perfect example. Like, it was a short game, but it was definitely worth $60. 100%. But it's a different thing when, like, you look at your play time and it's pretty considerable and you were like, none of that was a chore. Like, I enjoyed pretty much every minute of what I spent. So it's like an added bonus of like, my God, that's where video games are still the greatest kind of consumable kind of thing. Like, it's for you to get 100 hours out of a TV show or a movie, you just have to rewatch it over and over and over again. Like, music, same kind of deal, but like, this kind of medium, how you can spend 100 hours with it and still always be surprised by like new things to do and new challenges. Yeah. Like, it's pretty remarkable.
I actually just found out that there's something in Final Fantasy XII that I never knew was there. There's a fishing mini game in it.
What?
Yeah, like some quest to unlock it is with like the South Bank and like the desert, the river, and the Estrasan. I had no idea that existed.
I think it's interesting when stuff like that comes out, like games that have been out for 20 years, something like that. The creator will be like, you know, you guys never found this part of it, right? No one ever mentioned it. So it's, that's really cool. But I get where Mike's talking about, like the, do you ever feel like the, like where you have to put in, like, say there's a goal to accomplish, like, in a game, like you were talking about. Like, let's just use Pokemon for an example. you're enjoying it, and at the end, do you ever look back and reflect and be like, well, that was a huge waste of time?
Not, well, and I should clarify, I beat the game maybe 30 or 40 hours before I did everything to get my sense of accomplishment out of it. Because there were still Pokemon to find, there were still, like, mini quests that I hadn't done and that kind of stuff. Like, I had done pretty much all of it. I felt like I was so close that, like, I could do this. I could really get the whole Pokedex.
Yeah. I'm doing that now with Horizon. Like, I beat it, but I still have a lot left to do. That map is still pretty shrouded.
Shrouded in mystery.
But I don't know. I don't think there are a lot of games or any that I can think of
I think
where I really enjoyed it and then was like, I wish I could erase that entire point. Like, I regret ever playing it. I mean, you can wear stuff down to where it gives you a bad taste in your mouth. Kind of like what we were talking about with TV shows earlier. Which the audience will never know.
No,
what we're talking
sure
about.
Won't. That was, I was just thinking, like, it's one of those things I look back on. I remember, this is, I don't know, probably 20 years ago now, when Final Fantasy X came out, it was like the last one I was really playing, and I put like 80 hours into the game, and I realized I was only like 3/4 of the way through, and I was like, I don't have time for the rest of this game. The payoff's not going to be worth it for me. I was going to say, not that I didn't enjoy playing it, but I was just like...
That just sounds, I don't know, that sounds like it was a slog for you to begin with, and you just forced yourself through it anyway. Kind of like what you did with Stardew, where you dumped in, what was it, 90 hours? Yeah. It was like, I hated every minute of it.
I had a hard time with Final Fantasy X because I got some item that lets you turn off random encounters, so I tried to, like, force my way through that game horribly underleveled. It was hard.
All right. Well, anybody got any other games to talk about, or ready to wrap things up?
I did have a game that we saw a video for. It was a gameplay reveal. Have you guys seen the new Harry Potter game?
I actually saw the thing for that, yeah.
I'll ask.
It looked...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've only ever seen the movies once, half of them... twice, just because, like, I started to watch some. I never Morgan grew up with the books, but it always seemed like it was a little behind me, so I never got into them.
Okay.
I respect it, but it was never something that I was that interested in.
Yeah.
But I mean, the game, if they can deliver everything they were talking about, it looks like pretty cool.
So who's making this game? Is it Rocksteady? Because they were,
no, I thought it was like this.
They were rumored to be attached to that for a long, long time.
Harry Potter game.
So I'll say this for, I watched all the movies and I remember, I think I read most of the books, but it's one of those things where I was done with it and I have no interest in revisiting it.
Yeah.
Well, this would be like a prequel.
Yeah, so big time prequel. I was obsessed with Harry Potter as a kid. Like,
the kind of game that this is set to be is what's cool. It's like a massive RPG where you can do whatever the hell you want. Like, it's really cool hearing that they're gonna take something that has all this lore and try to give it what we've only seen in a handful of games.
Okay.
But what I was saying to Skid when we were watching that video is, like, I kind of, like Josh, have just, like, largely lost interest in Harry Potter, and J.K. Rowling has kind of soured me on it a bit more. I do think it would be fun to be able to really explore Hogwarts, like, really look around the castle and stuff. That's the only, my curiosity is a little bit piqued. I kind of wish it was, like, an MMO, which sounds weird to say, but... Because Final Fantasy is so good, I just think it would be cool to be able to, interact with real people. But, I don't know, I probably won't buy it unless it is, like, the best game in the world. But I do think it would be fun. It does look interesting.
It sounds like they have a lot that they're going to be trying to do, and it looked pretty as well. I'm looking up Portkey Games, and this makes it a lot more unsettling because all they've done are
mobile games.
It's called Portkey Games.
Okay.
From Warner Brothers Games. So it's a team that was specifically developed for the Harry Potter franchise, and they've only done mobile games.
Not that a mobile game developer can't make a decent console.
Look up Portkey Games and look at there. It looks like a bunch of.
The only thing I remember hearing about this game, because this game has been rumored for years, I believe, was that when Rocksteady finished up with the Arkham Knight, that they were moving on to this. And then
it might be them, because it's part of Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I was going to say Warner Brothers does own Rocksteady, so maybe they splintered a division of it off or something like that, because Rocksteady...
You should watch this video and then I'll take a look at it.
I missed that one. I know they did a State of Play, and that was like the big reveal, so I was like, eh.
Yeah, but the narrator guy has a really distracting lisp.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Making fun of someone with a speech impediment. Oh my gosh!
It's bizarre how rampant it is in video game voiceover kind of stuff. Like I can't listen to 90% of the recommended things whenever I go on YouTube because it's. Some guy doing the exact same, like, sensationalist delivery, but then with a mouthful of candy, I don't know. It's every awful, distracting, that's the one thing that really needs to get addressed with, if we're going to be in a voice acting or voiceover content creation mode, like, we need to put way more resources into people who should actually be narrating.
Well, I was going to say, some game companies put a lot of money into that, and then they replace the actor down the line when the contract runs out. See Peter Dinklage for...
So we just get any nerd off the street to...
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I'll say this. I think we need to wrap this episode up.
It's pretty long.
It's a pretty long episode at this point. I will say that...
Well, not for the listeners. No.
But just to give our listeners a little excitement for the next episode, it's going to be a kind of a return to form with a very, very special game for our 50th episode, and we can't wait.
And a very special guest.
If he exists.
A ghost.
So, a ghost, perhaps. But... it'll be our 50th episode, and we've got something special lined up for you guys, so stay tuned, and we'll see you next time on Funsphere Game Club. Bye.
Don't listen, it's a trap.
What?